I'm Clyde Lewis. You're about to listen to a sample of today's Ground Zero show. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Coming to you live all over the world. We're also on hundreds of stations across the country. We thank the affiliates for putting the show on the air. You should call them and thank them yourself. Say, hey, I really thank you for putting Ground Zero on. Many times people call and complain, but if you call and praise a program director, I'm sure you'd feel a lot better about putting the show on. We're also on aftermath.fm. It's a free streaming service. Also, talkstreamlive.com if you want to catch us there. That's another place you can look and find us. It's free, and of course, we're on from 7 to 10. That's Pacific time. So if you're getting preempted because of debate or whatever else is going on, whatever political thing they decide to interrupt with, you can just go right ahead and go to aftermath.media and listen there, because a lot of people say, well, where do I find you? Well, that's where you find us. When all else fails, if you can't find it on a radio station, find it on there, and we'll give you details. Just send an email, groundzeropdx@yahoo.com, where you can find it, and we'll let you know for sure where you can find Ground Zero. So I've been contemplating, two nights I've been thinking about Chris Everhart. Chris Everhart was on the show. He was doing this discussion with us about the Royals and about the blood and about the vampires. And he even mentioned that due to all the inbreeding, there was a moment, I lost my mind for a moment, exactly who gave birth to what they said was something that was akin to a werewolf. It was had a hairy body, and it was like it howled and it screamed. And of course, Chris has all these stories, gives the rundown of the real vampires in places of power. And I forgot to mention that that night, because he's done a lot of research on the Lesser Key of Solomon and the Goetian demons and all this stuff. And so we put in our library at aftermath.media a book that talked about the Lesser Keys of Solomon and the Goetic demons and evil spirits, because, you know, people were saying, well, how do I identify these demons? What do I do if I want to identify a demon? Well, this gives you an opportunity to. There are several different registries of demons that people can identify. But then it was weird because Ron actually put the Goetia demons, or the Goetic demons, evil spirits guide in the library. And someone posted on Facebook, they said, people dabbling in black magic is the source of so many of our woes on this planet. Why would we want to be like them? Do you find any danger in reading this? And I thought, no, I don't. I don't find anything. I believe this. I believe there's no harm in understanding both the dark and the light. I mean, it's best that you put the light into practice. Light means action. Be a light worker. Understand? It's the darkness is rarely understood. And this is why I think it appears to be winning right now. Is because people don't understand the darkness. They don't understand the occult. They say they do, but they understand it from a perspective, I just got to get rid of it, get out of my life. Well, you know, sure, you need to get rid of it, get out of your life. You don't need to practice it, but you need to know something about it. I remember that night I said something about how I felt that some of the best material that I talk about when it comes to the paranormal, it comes to the supernatural, some of the best material about the dark side comes from the Bible. I know that many Christians may disagree, but as I am challenged countless times to prove that aliens, vampires, or even werewolves are in the Bible, I've become quite versed in the history of the paranormal within Scripture. For example, if you go to the fourth chapter in Daniel, you read a story about King Nebuchadnezzar and how it appears that he was a shapeshifter and that quite possibly the king had changed into a werewolf. For 7 years, strange rumors had been heard throughout the Babylonian Empire that there was some type of significant trouble in the highest levels of government concerning the king himself. Some were suggesting that the king had lost his mind. I mean, he would fly into rages and was living out in the fields with the cattle. Other stories were going around as well, and nobody really knew the truth as to whether or not the king was alive or dead or what was going on. Nebuchadnezzar was transformed into a wild beast, and he lived in the fields for 7 years away from humanity, eating grass like cattle do. And the question I have was this bout of insanity that he went through the earliest recorded case of the clinical psychiatric delusion now commonly referred to as lycanthropy or werewolfism, going werewolf? See, in the Bible, if you want to read, it says this. It says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagles and his nails like birds. Now think of that for a moment. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagles and his nails like birds. So he lived in the bush like a madman. For 7 years, he did not bathe, and his hair grew and became so matted that it appeared as feathers or fur. His nails through the filth and the mud and the wild became like talons, eagle's claws, they said, adding the sun beating on his body and the calluses, the abrasions which formed on him throughout that length of time. These all certainly gave him the appearance of a beast which was animated from the psychosis of his mind. The king was about 45 years old at the time, and it sounds like he had transformed into a werewolf. He became what is known as a lycanthrope or lycanthrope. Now, the term lycanthropy, derived from the Greek lykos or wolf, and of course anthropos, or you know anthropos or anthro means human. So it's a wolf and human. It specifically refers to the transformation of a human into a wolf, and of course that's a werewolf. In the modern psychiatric literature, lycanthropy generally refers to the delusion that one can undergo a metamorphosis into an animal, be it a wolf or some other beast. It's also what they call therianthrope, therianthropy, or zoanthropy. Therianthropy, zoanthropy, therianthrope, lycanthrope. I'm just going down the list of what they are. Basically, in psychiatric literature, you can go through various different terminologies here. Patients that have thought themselves to be transformed not only into a wolf, but a werewolf, but also into dogs or cats or tigers or even reptiles, shape-shifting into a reptile. And we've had many people call the show saying that there are, they believe, many elite that do and can and are shapeshifters, and they hide behind their faces and they really are reptiles. So people can say there are no such things as vile beings, reptilian shapeshifters, or even werewolves. However, you go back to the Bible again, historic accounts in the Bible. The 12 spies in the Old Testament, they went to Hebron, and they were fascinated because when they went to Hebron, they were actually reporting to Moses. And they said that the area of Hebron near Canaan was a vile place where giant man-wolves and man-cats lived. They were giants who, when they talked, sounded like panthers. They were large, they ate human flesh, and had bones made of iron. They were also reported to have double rows of teeth and to be seen eating animals, women, and children. That, too, is from your Bible, my Bible. See, and that's the thing, is that, you know, a lot of people don't know where a lot of these strange supernatural ideas come from. They come from the Bible. They come from, well, traditional folklore, mythology. And in traditional folklore and mythology, some humans are said to have been physically transformed into animals. Certainly, it sounds crazy, right? It actually strains modern credulity. But we need to open up, I think, our minds to the serious questions about lycanthropy, or therianthropes, or I don't know if they even belong in the cryptozoological realms. But certainly we see something huge walking on its hind legs and it's furry, we tend to think, oh, it's some sort of a werewolf or bear or Bigfoot or something like that. But see, that's the thing. It's not just this formation. It's not just this image of the werewolf. It's the psychological makeup where you think like a beast, you act like a beast, you moan and yell and scream like a beast. And there are many things that can trigger this, whether it be demon possession or drugs or alcohol or something toxic that enters the body where the body goes completely crazy. And we were talking about that excitable delirium the other night, last night, as a matter of fact. This is a new kind of thing that's happening. They say the trance-like, possession-like state, the crazy state, the flying into a rage because of some fungal infection or ergot poisoning. These are the things that have happened in history, and they've tried to describe them in such a way where they describe things as being beasty or vampire-y or werewolf-like. It's just different ways we describe the bestial nature of mankind, and how when you dig deep enough, and when people just don't try anymore, they can be monsters. 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero, and we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.